It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So let's start this show with a disclaimer. This show is fully aware that it's only through 2 weeks, and anything we might say that seems reactionary may seem really stupid next Monday if they go out there and put a great performance on the field against the Jags. We understand. If you're out there listening and you've been listening to the reactions all morning and you're of a more prudent approach to things, you're like, you know what? Let's let things play out. If you're like that, I understand. There's the disclaimer. We get it. It's only 2 weeks. But the problem is, these first 2 weeks look quite a bit like the back half of last season. It wasn't the offense committing penalties. It was the defense, which has been a thing throughout D'Amico Ryans' tenure. The offensive line, not getting much push in the running game, seems familiar. C.J. Stroud and that offense not doing much in the second half feels familiar. And Lance Zierlein tweeted this, primetime Texans equals SOT. If you don't know what SOT is, it's simply same old Texans. And that stretches back to the Kubiak era when it, in regards to the Texans. They're in primetime, all eyes on them. It is the Joe Buck Aikman crew. So you get the number one crew, which is great, as opposed to the Riddick Orlovsky crew who got the late game. So
God, I wish they played it 10 o'clock Eastern time.
So less people saw it.
Hide this.
So all eyes on them. Another team who made the playoffs last year, you're playing. And you really don't look any better than you did last year when everyone was thinking we needed a new play caller, we need an O-line coach, we need new players on that O-line because we're failing our quarterback. That was the sentiment last year. I do not think outside the city, and this is not really a great way to look at it, I don't think a lot of people got the impression last night that the Texans were failing C.J. Stroud. When you get into year three, and look, that's a cursory look at Twitter. Don't type in Stroud's name on Twitter if you were a fan of C.J. You're not going to like what's out there. I think that's a little unfair, but he wasn't a guy who was failed completely by his surroundings. He didn't make plays. And when you're a guy, and we've talked about this, when you're a guy who has to win from the pocket, who has to win with accuracy, who now he has shown the ability to extend plays. He would have had a big play to Harrison Bryant if Harrison Bryant didn't fall down, which speaks to the lack of talent and depth at that tight end position because of injuries to Brevin Jordan and Kate Stover. If those two aren't hurt, Harrison Bryant isn't out there tripping over his own feet. But he's got to make the throws out of there. The Nico Collins throw, not the one that sailed out of bounds, at least the second one that sailed out of bounds down by the goal line. That had no chance. But the one where they have Nico isolated outside, he gets open on a double move, and he's at the back pylon of the end zone. That's a throw a quarterback of C.J. Stroud's abilities has to make. And I'm not even talking about his talent level, just what he can actually do. Because he can't make good on that by making a guy miss on fourth down and scoring with his feet. That's not who he is. So when the opportunity presents itself, you have to make it. He gets bailed out because Lavonte David can't catch a gifted interception. The numbers aren't pretty. The offense wasn't pretty. And it is a reminder that simply because you change things doesn't mean you fix them. And while C.J. Stroud is becoming less and less immune to criticism nationally, I think D'Amico Ryans is actually still cleaner in that regard, but he probably shouldn't be. At this point, you're looking at him making big changes to his offensive setup. You bring in a play caller. You bring in a subordinate in the O-line room to now be your head man. You talked a lot about how this wasn't a cookie-cutter offense. This is the Texans' offense. This is about plays, not players, the thing every coach says to win over a room and win the press conference. We're gonna be about our players and not our plays. For the most part, it's about the coaches' plays. And sure, they will plug in players that they think fit their plays, but never really buy into players, not plays. They all got a system. They'll make changes to it. But for the most part, they're running the things they want to run. Are we out on Nick Caley already? Some people are. Once again, remember the disclaimer at the beginning of the show. I understand it's only 2 weeks. But it's we're in a year three of this build. And if I have my questions about the play caller, the second play caller of this build, I no longer talk about the offensive play caller. I talk about the head coach. We know about watching guys fire and hire guys and using that to try to tamp down some of the criticism. Slowick's a problem. You can go across the sport. If you're a big college football fan, that's the offseason's greatest hope. You fire the coordinator and things will get better. That was the hope here in town because we didn't add that much talent to the O-line, but we got rid of the coordinator. We got rid of the O-line coach. They're the problem. You can't do that anymore. If you talk about them as a problem, then you got to talk about the head coach as the problem because he's now on his second cycle of hires there. We're not saying, at least I'm not, maybe Sean after his afternoon with Jeremy Branham has a different approach to what the Texans should do with their coaching staff. I am not saying fire the head coach. I don't think he should get fired. He's not getting fired. But I'm done explicitly or simply talking about his subordinates when it comes to their problems. If they're the problem, he's the problem. And he would likely tell you himself, it all falls on me. Another thing coaches say when they don't really think it falls on them, but that's what they got to say. Because that seems like the stand-up thing to do. They never fooled me with that because, okay, if it all falls on you, then quit. It's self-preservation. You're never going to do that. You're just going to fire the guy under you and then hire another one. So it does fall on him. And if Caley ain't right, and through 2 weeks he hasn't been, then and I should be trained on D'Amico Ryans on what's the deal? Why did you go with a first-time play caller again after you went through 2 years with Bobby Slowick and decided this isn't for me? Now, it's tough to just go find an experienced play caller. You usually have to go to the college level to do that because unless a guy has failed someplace else and now a quarterback coach in the NFL level, you just can't hire a guy who's a play caller from someone else.
Keep my eye on you, Mike McDaniel. Keep my eye on you.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel is likely to be 0-3. They got to go to Buffalo on Thursday. And then they have 11 days off to figure it out. I'm sure the Dolphins, if they do lose, and they likely will position it as our season starts again against because we got this 11-day break with the Jets coming to town. Look, Mike McDaniel is someone they wouldn't hire this season to call plays. Likely,
they wouldn't.
I
would.
You would. Okay.
Just but the second.
If he got fired like halfway through the year.
Yeah.
I don't think the Texans, they might bring him in as the vaunted analyst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, consultant.
Consultant type.
Have him in the booth with the headset on.
It just simply means that Nick Caley, get ready to learn Rams again, buddy, when you go take an assistant job with the Rams.
Mike needs coffee.
Well, you believe that's what he did for Sean McVay.
Prove me wrong.
I was going to get to that. I was going to say at this point, I can't say that you're wrong, except I don't think Sean McVay treats his coaches like that. But as far as what your thought is that he wasn't really doing much there to actually affect day-to-day operations and game planning and winning games, then right now I can't say that you're wrong. So in that way,
yeah,
he's a gopher, a coffee gopher.
Does it look like the Rams offense? Does it look like we stole a little piece of the Rams?
they do have Nakua and Devontae and Matt Stafford and stuff, which while
Texas got Nico Collins.
He's not as good.
And Iowa State.
But the problem is, for most people, it's the wrong Iowa State receiver playing. Hutchinson's playing.
Yeah.
And we'll get into the snap count stuff. There's a lot to get to. If you want to join us and air your grievances, or maybe you think everyone's overreacting, we'll certainly welcome those calls. We like a different point of view. 713-780-3776. But once again, heed the disclaimer at the beginning of the show. 2 weeks, understood. But it's been an ugly 2 weeks on offense. And look, the defense will catch it too. Because as a defense first team, you can't allow that final drive. You can't shut the Bucs down pretty much for two plus quarters, and then when they need it the most, they do whatever they want.
Henry Toa Toa. You're really lucky. We love talking about quarterbacks.
Yeah, look.
You're really lucky.
Yeah,
NFL discourse is focused on quarterbacks and coaches.
Sorry, off-ball linebackers don't get a lot of attention unless they're great.
However,
I noticed you.
He could have won the game.
He had a look. D'Amico Ryans dialed something up that if his players make a play, they win the game.
Now, it starts with D'Amico.
But you can always say, maybe if EJ Speed was out there as opposed to Henry Toa Toa for his 77 plays that he played, maybe there's a different result.
But it starts with D'Amico.
It does. It actually does. He's a play caller. I don't know who tells which linebacker to go in or not, but I can bet the fact that Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry Toa Toa played 77 plays out of 80, that's a D'Amico Ryans call. He wanted those guys out there more than he wanted an EJ Speed or a Christian Harris, who played in the teens. EJ Speed didn't even get to 5 snaps, one of their acquisitions this offseason. So a lot to get to. You can join us and talk about your Texans, or maybe you're a Buck fan. The first call of the day was Buccaneer James. He was celebrating his Bucks. So we'll take those calls too. All right, Sean's back. He was replaced admirably by AJ. Sean was just doing his thing. He had a show to do with Jeremy Branham, who was asking questions on Twitter once again. Is the honeymoon over?
Just ask questions.
I'm just asking questions, man. I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking questions. And his big question is the honeymoon over for the likes of Stroud and D'Amico Ryans? I think in year three, everything's on the table as far as how you feel. And what you saw in game two, unfortunately, feels a lot like what you saw last year, and it led to big changes, and those changes haven't led to any positive effects on offense. We'll talk about the defense and how undisciplined and, at the very end, how they failed. All right, but before we do all that, I see you, Thomas. I see you, Steven. We'll get to you. I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Look, they don't fail. When you've been in business for over 50 years, that means you're doing something pretty great, and you can check out all the things they have to offer if you go down there. In Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, they're a great dealership. And if you're looking for a Chevy, they're the place for you. So whether you want one of their EV vehicles, particularly the Blazer, or maybe you're looking for that Silverado 1500 with that 72-month deal that they've got going on right now, you can check out all the deals they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. So the website is pretty informative about what they have. And then you head on out there because there are no surprises. And it's at 2.9% APR in 72 months for that Silverado 1500. It's truck month. You should take advantage of it. You only got half a month left. So don't think about getting a truck in October and then look around. I want a deal. The deal is going on right now in September at Monument Chevrolet. Check out the inventory. Find the car you want. Find the price you want. And then that price will be the same price when you get out there. No tricks. They're not going to trick you with a deal on the website, and then the deal changes once they have you on the lot. They're a no-pressure, friendly place where they understand the car buying process. It's not something you want to be rushed into. They also are not going to keep you on the lot forever. If you got what you want in mind, they'll get you that car as quickly as they can. So check them out at monumentchevrolet.com. Head on out there to Pasadena for Beltway 8 and 225. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
Houston, have you tried Portillo's yet? Portillo's brings authentic Chicago-style flavor with their slow-roasted Italian beef, Chicago-style hot dogs, char-broiled burgers, and crinkle-cut fries with cheese sauce. Save room for their famous chocolate cake and cake shake. Eat in, drive through, or order online. Now with 5 Houston locations. Find yours at Portillo's.com. That's Portillo's.com.
Hey, this is Chance from Heritage Films. I think commercials suck for the most part, so I want to make sure that this commercial is awesome. We make documentary films like you see on Netflix, but for sort of regular folks like your dad or maybe you for your kids. Now, I know that bats and ancient Rome and like penguins are all cool documentary subjects, but one on your mom would be way better. YourHeritageFilm.com.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlic helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste free, and garlic is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listen to Texas Radio Hall of Famers John and Lance weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
Kane is in the building now.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll certainly get into the Astros because there's a big MRI in store if it hasn't already been done on Yordan's ankle, who turned it, apparently running through a stop sign. He did score, so we got that, and the Astros went over the Rangers, but he's touched the plate, apparently slick. And we got an ankle problem that may be one of those vaunted high ankle sprains, which you rarely see in baseball. But leave it to Yordan to go get himself a potential high ankle sprain. We'll see what the damage is when the Astros let us know. But we're talking Texans right now. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas wants to talk Texans. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, man? That was a rough game to watch. I mean, you can just point it, you know, just pass the hot potato to anyone on offense, really. You know, on one drive, it's the O-line. On the next drive, it's running backs or receivers. It's whatever. But I think the thing that really jumped out to me was C.J. Stroud, and it kind of didn't hit me till like, this morning. I forgot what segment you were doing. I think you were talking about Archie and the yips. But, I mean, C.J. just looked so just not great. It's like, I think it was the first play out of the block punt. He missed a wide open Xavier Hutchinson earlier in that game. I think, you know, he did a double take and then threw the ball at Nico when he was, like, you know, being covered after he was wide open. It was just, like, a bunch of, like, weird off moments. And then also the play calling. I don't know how, like, you score a touchdown, you know, going to Nico, and then you don't throw the ball to him until the second half or something. I forgot what it was. But, yeah, really disappointed. But yeah, I'll see what you have to say. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Thomas. Yeah, we suspected that Nico Collins would get a heavy diet, and he got his 9 targets, but it seemed like that didn't pick up till late. Look, the Bucs know. The Texans have one real legit threat at wide receiver. So they're going to cover him and do what they can. So as they say, the other team gets paid too, and they got guys to adjust. But yeah, it felt like there wasn't enough, and I can't believe I'm going to say it considering all the talk about it last year. Maybe get Nico a wide receiver screen to see if he can make a play, something like, but you don't have to do it on 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
It could be on 1st and 10.
Yeah.
Just throw a ball out there to him and see if he can make a play.
An extension of the running game.
Because
other than one run, you had no running game.
Yes. Up until the last run of the game for them.
Yeah.
You did nothing on the ground. But yeah, there are ways to get Nico Collins the ball beyond the traditional, hey, go run a dig, run a corner. So
because guess what? You can't block long enough for him to run the dig.
Well, that does play a part in a lot of what goes on with the Texans. But Thomas talked about CJ Stroud. We'll get into the Nico Collins thing as we go forward. Yeah, I mean, we can discuss Stroud in this way. We know what his strengths are, or at least his perceived strengths, the way he wins in the NFL. And we're now just talking about what he did in year one, because we still have to reach back into year one, because that impression still holds some weight. That weight will continue to decrease as we see more performances like we've seen through the first 2 weeks. And we can be honest with ourselves and say, this is a quarterback, whether you want to call it yips or just simply he's flat out missing sometimes and it's just random. He has been affected by the guys in front of him.
Yeah.
It has become a part of the formula when we judge CJ. You would hope, because of what the impression was in year one, it would not be a thing that continues to hamper him. But when he misses wild sometimes, it's like, because of the small margin for error for the Texans offense, those throws from that quarterback, because of a skill set, he has to hit, as I said in the first segment. He cannot make up for an easy miss by escaping the pocket. Now, as I noted, he's done it, but it's not what he is. To escape the pocket and pick up a first down on 3rd and 9. For all he does to extend plays, not a lot of that happens on 3rd down. He's kind of toast when the defense is actually sending things at him on those long yardage situations. Like, so he can't make up for a miss on 2nd and 10 generally with his feet making a play on 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. It's difficult for a lot of guys to do. He in particular is not one who's going to do it. So he's got to hit his layups. And the Nico Collins one that you're referencing and the Hutchinson one as well, those were layups he's got to hit to keep this offense moving, because they don't have a lot of room for their, you would say, second best player, because you put Nico number one, but their most important player, to miss the ones that are right there. The plays that are drawn up by Kaylee that actually work, and they're few and far between right now, CJ's got to make those plays. And right now, even those couple misses per game or one miss per couple series are enough to put you in a spot where the Bucs can go down and score a touchdown to win the game. The offense didn't do enough to win the game, and the defense had done their part up until the last drive, and all that combines to make you 0-2. And CJ plays his part. He said to DJ Bieniemy, for whatever reason, you can't find the sound anywhere, he talked about how people are going to say we suck. Well, your offense does suck. The numbers will tell you your offense sucks. Whether that is going to be a thing for the season, I don't know. But right now, you got a lot of components that don't play well enough consistently to make you a good offense. Like, there'll be a guard who misses a block where everyone else is good, or you'll miss a read, or guys won't get open. Lance was talking about it watching the All-22. The Texans don't have a lot of guys who win on routes. They got a bunch of long striders, big body types. Of course, Noel might help that. He's a fast guy. He didn't get a lot of snaps. The Hutchinsons of the world got snaps. Justin Watson, of all people, got snaps. And those guys aren't going to win quickly. They're bigger bodies. And if your O-line can't hold up, it's not great to have guys who can't win quick.
That's what really struck me last night. It was just like, how many times did you need to either get sacked or have the play greatly affected by pressure to where you're like, hey, maybe a little bit less like deep, long developing plays? Because it felt like every time they dropped back, it was like he's making reads like 8 yards down the field. You don't have time to do that. If the first read isn't there, you're cooked. Like, you don't have the time to survey the field. Like, there has to be an adjustment at some point when, on every big play, Todd Bowles is sending a blitz, a very well-designed blitz, a well-timed blitz, but a blitz nonetheless, just to get something going short. Just get a dump off. Get a, like, that. They did hit Woody Marks early on one.
Yeah.
And he was pretty open, made one guy miss, and turned was maybe the most play. Explosive play of the game.
Yeah. Well, the guy who would fill that role ain't available, Christian Kirk. The guy who you think would win early with the option routes on the slide, get the ball out of C.J. Stroud's hands. He's not available because Christian Kirk generally misses time, and he's already missed the first 2 weeks. So I'm sure that was someone heavily baked into their offense. All that's talk early in the offseason, and particularly going into training camp as well, about how they're going to get the ball out of C.J.'s hands quickly. It's a lot of quick hitters. That stuff has disappeared, and I think one of the reasons why is the guy working out of the slot, your experienced wide receiver in that spot, ain't available, and we'll see if he's available for his return to Jacksonville. Anthony, I see you. Steven, we're going to get to you when we come back. So if you want to talk Texans, 713-780-3776. Of course, as we always tell you, if you want to take it in a different direction because you got thoughts on something else, that's fine. But as it stands now, we got a lot to talk about regarding that Texans team, and we will get to the defense and some of the snap distribution, because I don't think you can play Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter every play, but I don't want them to play as like 15 less snaps than the combination of Toa Toa and Azeez Al-Shaair, because apparently D'Amico Ryans or whoever decided the personnel grouping thought those guys should play every snap but three from the linebacker spot. And as Sean said, did you say it during the breaker on the air? You said
depends.
Those guys are lucky.
That was on air.
Okay, he's right. They are lucky we don't talk about off-ball linebackers like they do quarterbacks, because woof, on the last drive and throughout, those guys weren't good. Anthony, we'll get to you when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. And they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax Relief.
Sell your house fast for cash at greenlightoffer.com.
Okay, Texas, pop quiz. True or false? Walmart has more than half a billion items online. True. Find a huge selection online that you can't find in stores. True or false? Groceries always cost more when they're delivered. False. Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. Last one. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. True, y'all. Use Express Delivery to get eligible items to your doorstep before the pool party starts. Walmart. Who knew? Subject to availability. Fees and restrictions apply.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, a lot of people will tailgate mostly Texans or University of Houston or Texas A&M. Hey, if you've got a favorite team, you guys will color code them that color of your team.
Even if you like the Saints and you need some sun gold in your life, we got you.
What about the Cougs?
I'm a Coug. Of course we got to have Cougar colors.
They're the biggest. They're the best. They're expanding. Houston Powder Coaters. Call Robin, 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
Hey parents, Jeremy Branham here. Want to transform your driveway into a pro-level court? Pro Dunk basketball goals are the real deal. Their revolutionary lightning adjust system lets you change heights in seconds. From regulation 10 feet down to 5 feet so the whole family can play. Build commercial grade materials that stand up to Houston weather. Get your kids off those screens and onto the court. Pro Dunk, the choice of serious ballers. Visit ProDunk.com today. That's ProDunk.com.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Anthony here. We lost, was it Steven? Steven, I understood why you might have dropped. We were going to ask you to hold to another break, but we'll welcome you back if you want to get in. All right, let's get to Anthony here. He wants to talk some Texans as well. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys, after watching that game, I just couldn't help but feel like I've seen this game before. Back when I watched the Matt Schaub Texans, back when I watched the Deshaun Watson Texans, and back yesterday when I watched the C.J. Stroud Texans. We'll score, and we leave plenty of time on the clock to let a better quarterback than ours go right down the field and show what a real star quarterback does. And the difference between C.J. Stroud and Deshaun Watson and Matt Schaub is that the other teams show you what real quarterbacking looks like. Like, we always hype up our quarterbacks here in Houston, but when a real quarterback shows up, that's what it looks like. Baker Mayfield's trucking cornerbacks and safeties, stiff-arming people, breaking tackles, running, and he's far less athletic than C.J. Stroud. The announcers are even saying, like, how unathletic Baker Mayfield was, but he just has a heart to not lose. Like, I need that fire in CJ. Like, I feel like he's the Golden State Warriors mentality. Like, when everything's going good, he's all hype and he's good. But then as soon as something starts going down, he puts his head down, he starts pouting and getting all, like, frustrated and everything like that. It's like, I never see him have that fire like a Baker Mayfield, like a Patrick Mahomes has. Like, man up, bro. Stop crying all the time. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for that. I will say this. I've talked about this before. When you start to lose the belief in your quarterback, anything that he does that maybe you overlooked in the past starts to bother you. This is the same C.J. Stroud who won one of these things against Baker Mayfield in his rookie year. You remember when he came on the scene and hit Tank Dell in back in the end zone to win the game after the Bucs had taken lead? Mike Evans talked about it this week about how he thought he was going to win that game. Said it's one of the more disappointing losses of his career because of his ties to the area. CJ did the same thing Baker did in 2023, but he was new. You hadn't built up scars of watching things not go CJ's way at that point. It was all new and fresh. And look at our guy. We got our guy. There was he was posing after making plays. The confidence was there. There was none of what Anthony said where he's looking all sad. And he apparently was very down in the postgame, as you might imagine. That's what happens, man. Go look across the league. Quarterbacks, because of what they mean to teams, develop kind of like cult followings. And once your quarterback starts to not have that linear progress and their failure moments across, you get this. I'm not even blaming Anthony, but it happens. Like, CJ was the dude in 2023. I said he won this actual game. He won this matchup.
Literally, I mean, really.
With a drive that Anthony's asking for. And no one was saying what you're saying. And now Baker's had two successful years since and looks like he's on his way to having another one. So Baker Mayfield has certainly changed the narrative about his career as he has now helped two guys get head coaching jobs. And who knows what – I even forgot the guy.
Glizzard. I forgot.
Whatever his last name is. He may be next. So Baker's turned the narrative. But that ain't Baker Mayfield in 2023. That was – CJ's the dude. CJ's got the poses. CJ's got the swagger. He's making the big plays. But you watch the progression of a quarterback, and he starts to fail in certain situations because not everything's going to be perfect. Now you got this version where we're like, I can't believe they're comparing him to Jordan Love. Can't believe that was a conversation to be had. Meanwhile, what did Jordan Love do last year?
Also, the Texans-Bucks game. The Texans scored 20 more points in the 2023
game. Oh, I know it's a very different game, but I'm just speaking.
I do think that a lot of this would be better for CJ if they just, like, one extra touchdown drive per half. Of like, yeah. The games go the exact same way. It's just like, again, it doesn't look like for a quarter and a half, or 2.5 quarters that they've stopped. They don't know how to play football anymore. I mean, that's what makes it so much like last season, where it's they have their opening drive that they look good. They have maybe one more drive that ends in a field goal, whether it's right before half or it's the next drive in this case. And then they kind of go in low power mode for until the last 5 minutes of the game. And then they have one more drive in them. And this one was even set up by
special teams.
And that, you know, during this game, I was like, this team is like a good team because of how many times the defense before the last drive bailed them out. And then even when it was like they need another bailout because I don't know if they're going to be able to drive the field, then you get their special teams making another play. And Noel was good on returns all night. But obviously the last one is the most key one. But they're 2/3 of a good team. They don't have a good offense. They have a bad offense.
Yeah, and they don't even have an average offense who can play enough complementary football to allow that defense to just be able to rush the passer over and over again and make games very, very difficult, which they even did last night. We have talked a lot about the offense, and we made passing comments about the defense, but as much as their defense first, you can't give up that last drive. Look,
no.
We're not going to fault them too much because of how well they did to keep the team in the game after actually they gave up like 14 points early.
Yeah.
They were bad early.
Yeah, they also, I mean, I think it was the first two Bucks drives. Like, it was just at the beginning of the game, they thought, like,
no one could stop anyone. We thought we were going to get a 2023 game. Instead, both defenses found their way. And the Texans look like they were in a spot for those pass rushers to take over. And when you got Charlie Heck on one side and then a starting center having to play tackle on the other side, you think to yourself, all right, this is the prime spot for this defense to make the plays they need to make to get out of there with an ugly win. Like Jeremy Branham tweeted out, if Henry Toto made the play, we would be talking very differently. Well, that would be probably correct but wrong, because the same problems that existed in a win – would have existed in the loss. The offense still would have been a big issue. You still couldn't run the ball, but at least your defense would have closed it out. But that offense would have been the same offense we saw in the back half of last year and got the last guy fired. So it would have been a poor job by anyone to allow that as Henry Toto play to distract from what was a putrid offense performance.
But we don't get calls in being like,
because they won.
Needs to quit moping.
Yeah, because they won the game. But in this case, Henry Toto doesn't make the play. And it leads me to this. KJ, I see you. We're going to go to break here and then get to you. Hold on. Henry Toto and Azeez Ashier aren't good enough to play 77 out of 80 snaps. They're not. They're not impactful enough. They weren't impactful enough in the run game, stopping the run. And we certainly saw in a moment where Toto's athleticism, you would say, because he's the smallest linebacker, his speed to play in those passing situations. But in a situation where you got to corral apparently a very unathletic quarterback when he was right. Anthony was right. Troy Aikman was like, Baker's not that quick, not that fast, not that big, but he continues to make plays. I do remember that moment in the game. Toto, what are you out there for as the the quick linebacker other than to corral Baker Mayfield to end the game. He didn't end the game, and then it felt like at that point, that 4th-and-10 conversion by the Bucs took the heart of the Texans defense, and they were done for. And the Bucs didn't even have to use two of their three timeouts. They ran the, they got down there, took their time, and with 9 seconds left, they shift a couple times, but in the end, they just ran the ball down the Texans' throat. And who did, was it Rashad White? Who did he run through? Toa Toa Nashair. They met him at the one. He goes, oh, nice to see you guys. I'm going to run right through you for a touchdown to win the game.
That's what he did all night.
Yeah, really? So he goes, hey, this is comfortable. This is familiar. Let me do it again. Those two had another chance to make a play. Look, do I think the Bucs wouldn't have scored? Probably not, but at least I would have liked it to get to like, go for it on 3rd and goal. He just ran right through him for a touchdown. So the off-ball linebackers, not good enough, and those two probably shouldn't have played that many snaps to begin with. All right, we'll go to break with that. KJ, we'll get to you when we come back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
The annual Katy Rice Harvest Festival is happening October 11th and 12th in Katy Historic Town Square. Check out country music artists like Sawyer Brown, Kylie Fry, and more performing free outdoor concerts. Plus, the carnival is back. Get all day or weekend unlimited ride carnival passes now. For the adults, visit the sports zone and enjoy adult bevs while you watch the big rivalry game between Texas and Oklahoma on Saturday. Get advanced tickets and carnival passes now at katyriceharvestfestival.com. That's katyriceharvestfestival.com.
Cast your line and relax at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Your fishing getaway awaits.
Lance Zierlein here. I'm with Giovanni Marquez, undefeated fighter right here in Houston. You got a big fight coming up on September 20th. After you win, what is going to be your first order at Taqueria Serrano's?
My first order is going to be 5 taquitos with a large horchata.
Everyone loves horchata. What do you love about Taqueria Serrano's? A lot of locations in Houston. What do you love?
I love the great flavors and the excellent service.
If you're looking for authentic Mexican food, there's 24 locations around Houston. To find one nearest you, go to TaqueriaSerrano's.com.
So we do a giveaway. Wait, give me the VIN.com. Every month, we're giving away $25,000 to one lucky person that sells us their car. Karen, you there?
I'm here.
Karen Gardner of Oceanside, California is the latest winner in Give Me the VIN.com's big cash giveaway.
What did you sell us?
I sold you a 95 Impala.
And what did we pay you for it?
You guys gave me 18.
18 plus 25,000 because you're the winner, Karen.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
You could be next to get a little more, maybe a lot more.
You guys are awesome. Keep it up.
No purchase necessary. For official rules, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell us your car.
It's midnight in Houston, and Bob just can't sleep. The AC is broken, and he can't count the sheep. Don't worry, big man. You don't need to scream. We can fix your AC with the help of Air Team. They'll come to your place, fix it up without a trace. Trust the ultimate fan with the paint on his face.
Is your air conditioner not performing at a pro level? Call Air Team, H-Town's HVAC team. The best heating and air conditioning installation services. 713-936-5346 or visit airteamltd.com.
Hey Texans fans, Sean Mapes here. You know every game counts, so don't miss a moment of the action this season on Prize Picks. Make your picks on your favorite Houston Stars and Battle Red all season long. Prize Picks is the best way to win cash this football season. You've been waiting all offseason preparing for this moment. Which players are going to go off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks, and in less than 60 seconds, you can turn your takes into cash all season long. Prize Picks is simple to play. All you have to do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you can cash in. And don't worry about injuries because Prize Picks also offers injury reboots. If one of your players leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks won't count it as a loss. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Must be present in certain states. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
All right, if you want to follow up KJ, the number is 713-780-3776. Of course, we're still talking Texans as they lose in the same way they lose a lot of their ball games. Same old Texans on primetime, certainly. 20-19 the final. The Bucs get it done. Baker Mayfield gets it done. Leads his team down the field for a touchdown. All right, what's up, KJ?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. A couple of things I just got to hit, and I'm going to start with Tua Tua and Al Shear. Remind me, look, they don't make linebackers like that. I'm not saying play like that, even look like Greenlaw and Fred Warner, because them dudes are just glorified safeties. That's why they can't stop nobody. They try to blow everybody up and don't wrap up like that. The play that Tua Tua missed was just unbelievable because you took a horrible angle. You didn't have to go in and hit him. He was just standing right there with people around him. He basically was in a cage. All you had to do was close the front door. He took a bad angle, as he does on a regular basis. And like you said, the guy who ran, I don't even know, White, who ran in for the touchdown, he just run right into him. He did it early in the game also. So it's the fact that you're just basically too light in the ass when it comes to bigger players to knock them off their trail, and so you just miss tackles. Now, the other play where Al Shear literally ran in a circle thinking that they was going to tackle him. Tua Tua missed that tackle along with three other people. So Al Shear said, oh, well, I guess I need to go over here and try to tackle him. That my point is, those two linebackers don't have the size that linebackers that D'Amico had in San Francisco to run the scheme that he's used to running to make those plays when they need to be made. It's inexcusable for that 4th and 10. But now, if you remember, the reason the Texans had to come back last time is because that Baker Mayfield made a 4th and 10 or 4th and long scramble in that game. He did the same thing. I kept saying it last night. He did the same thing last time he was here. So that's just part of the issue, you know. Number two, stop running the ball out of the – Lance said this last year or the year before. Stop running the ball out of the shotgun. When you run the ball out of the shotgun, you don't give the offensive lineman enough time to make the block, and then the running back doesn't have time to make a decision of what hole is there. If there's no hole because he has the ball as soon as he snaps. The only play that they did, and it's up for debate if Tampa Bay let them score, but if you see on the running play that he scored on, it was not out of the shotgun. That's why they backed their 7 yards, to give time for the play to develop. You have no time when the shotgun hand the ball off. He's running into the back of the line. That's what happened. And for people to say, oh, well, they didn't score on the 4th and 1, that could have won the game. Who says that? They had 2 minutes and 32 seconds left, or a minute and 50-something seconds left? Whatever Tampa had, and they just marched down the field on you. So that didn't matter. But those two things, stop running the ball out of the shotgun. I'm not a football coach by any stretch of imagination. I just know what logic is. And those linebackers that you, like you said, to play 77 plays, and you said by Christian Harris, he deserved to get taken out of that game. And that's what I said then. Why would you tackle that man and grab him by the helmet like that? You had him stopped. All you have to do is wait for somebody to come. At least he's bigger than the other one. But then he made those dumb plays That's how you end up on the bench. That's how you end up having Tua and Al Shea in the game for so long. Those dudes are glorified safety, man. I mean, if you disagree with me, let me know. Have a good day, bro.
Appreciate it. No, I don't disagree completely. Look, Fred Warner's not a big linebacker. He's just Fred Warner. He is a all-pro on a Hall of Fame tract. And Dre Greenlaw, when he can stay healthy, is one of the best linebackers in football. He was, at least in San Francisco. So those guys weren't giant. But, yeah, when they hit people, they stopped them in their tracks. Look, you can be 230, which is what Fred Warner is, and not be light and ass. He's fundamental. He's a fundamental player who's an elite athlete. Combine those things, and you got what you got in Fred Warner. Azeez Ajir, not a fundamental player. He is looking to blow you up. And Hiri Toa-Toe. Whatever he's listed at, he looks smaller than that. I think he's listed in the 220s, maybe high 220s. He does not look as big as that. And, yeah, in days gone by, those two guys would probably be safety. In the modern NFL, you're not going to get a lot of 240 linebackers. Just not how the game is played. But those two in particular, they don't play the game in the way where their size is beneficial to them, at least not last night, because they got run through by a big running back, and they're not fundamental enough to wrap up and make plays on guys in the open field. Like, the toe-to-toe thing is going to be highlighted, and Kate is right. I went back and looked at the 2023 game. Baker, it was 3rd and 23. He completed a ball for 21 yards and then scrambled around, held the ball, and then picked up a first down, a 4th and 2. So he made a similar play, and then, of course, CJ came back and won the game. So look, it happens sometimes where ex-players maybe see themselves too much in the guys they put out there when they can't do what they used to do. Like, DeMeco wasn't a big linebacker, but he was certainly much better than the guys he has playing right now. And we talked about in the offseason, the spots where they're not great at on defense, up the middle at tackle, and they're linebackers. Everywhere else, you could say, they have at least one elite player. From the ends, of course, to Stingley, and Lassiter is a good player, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's a fine safety. I don't know about elite, but he's fine. And, of course, you had
Bullock
as well. You've got guys, or dudes, as guys people would say. You don't really have dudes at linebacker or at defensive tackle, and the Bucs took advantage of that, particularly whenever they wanted to run the football.
Yeah, I mean, you said that a big back was running through him.
Well, Bucky Irving was bouncing right off of him. That's lack of fundamentals.
Yeah, they were trying to tackle Bucky Irving like I try to tackle people in the college football video game and just hit
blow
stick,
him up. Yeah.
Hit stick, just throw myself at this person, see what happens. And yeah, it just was not working against either of the Bucks running backs. And yeah, it is. It is the part of the team where you're just like, man, this, you just cannot do this. Like, you would think that with DeMeco Ryans, they would be fundamental. Even if they're not, like, even if you want to cheap out on them, because that's A, kind of what NFL teams do, is they're like, they'll cheap out on the middle linebackers or off-ball linebackers. Yeah. But it's like, can they be a little more coached up? Like, also, Hiri Toa-Toe, hey, how about we give him a breather every once in a while?
Yes,
because I think part of that, I think that played into especially the final drive, how bad they were worn down.
They were missing tackles throughout, and I got to take it back. DeMeco was listed at 247, so he was big, particularly for today's game.
Yeah, I was going to say, today's game, he'd be a Russian.
They probably have to drop. He'd probably have to drop weight in today's game.
Or he'd be at the end.
Yeah, six. Yeah, he's like Dwight Freeney size, 6'1", 247. Freeney is probably a little bit heavier than that. Steven, we see you, man. I don't know if that's the same guy who was on with us earlier. We do have to go to break, so please hang on. We'll get to you when we come back. If you want to follow up on anything, you're welcome. 713-780-3776. We'll probably save the misery index for tomorrow because we normally don't have a Monday night game, so we would normally do it on a Tuesday, but there's a lot to get to. We barely touched on the Astros, and our hero did just fine. If Jeremy Peña could catch a baseball, it would have gone better for Jason Alexander. We'll talk with the Astros in the second hour. Certainly, if you want to talk about them, you're welcome. Steven, you're up next. But first, let's go to break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.